Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Well, folks, we're on our final chapter of Weathering the Storms. If you haven't ordered your copy of the book, you need to. Go to our website and place an order today. Meanwhile, we begin today with Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25, through chapter 5, verse 21. This is God's word. "Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." This is from Ephesians 4, verse 25 through 32. Today we want to talk about maintenance and pest control. In Ephesians, the Apostle Paul gives us instructions about home life. No matter how well you build, maintenance is necessary. Certain things will be brought in that don't belong, so we must routinely clean out both dirt and clutter. In 1 Corinthians 6:12, the Apostle Paul reminds us, "All things are lawful, but not all things are beneficial. All things are permissible, but not everything is helpful." Some things need to be cleaned out in order to make the atmosphere in the home more conducive to spiritual growth and development. When our boys were elementary age, our family went for 3 years without television. Not because real Christians don't watch TV. Television is not the problem. Rather, the decision was based on the prayerful question, "What is best for our marriage and family at this time in our lives?" The good is often the enemy of the best. There are often things that aren't bad, they're just not as good as something that's better. Much of what comes into the home is tracked in unintentionally. It comes in on the bottoms of your shoes or rides in on your coat. If we don't consciously, deliberately, routinely clean out what doesn't belong, our house will be a mess. Little by little, things that don't belong creep into our schedules, desires, ambitions, priorities, and budget. If you will look at the things coming into your home with conscientious discernment and decide to get rid of the things that aren't helpful, the quality of the atmosphere in your home will be greatly improved. After we'd been living in the mountains for several years, my wife found a rattlesnake in our garage and was rather upset about it. So I killed the rattlesnake. But a week later, there was another rattlesnake in the garage. This told me it was time to clean out the garage. We didn't have a bunch of bad stuff in the garage, just a bunch of stuff we didn't need. It gave the snakes a place to hide. It also gave the mice a place to hide, which was why the snakes were hanging out there. When you get rid of the stuff that doesn't belong, all of a sudden the critters that don't belong go away too. Paul says, "Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." So many problems would be solved if people would learn how to forgive. No one will ever be able to earn forgiveness. If it has to be earned, it's not forgiveness. Even after you have forgiven those who have wronged you and sought forgiveness from those you have wronged, you must guard your heart. You must protect areas that are exposed so the environment outside won't penetrate and destroy what you have built. The greater the exposure to the outside elements, the greater the need for protection. Think about this from the standpoint of your physical house. You don't paint the inside of the board where there's no exposure to the elements. You paint the outside parts that are exposed to the weather. Why do you apply paint, stain, or sealer on the outside of your house? You want it to last. So you put the paint on to keep the sun and water from destroying the wood. But what happens after you paint a house? Well, eventually the paint peels and chips, and you have to come back and paint again. To do it right, you have to prepare the surface before you paint. The most challenging part of painting is all the prep work to get it ready. You have to clean the dirt off to get that surface prepped. And if you don't clean away the stuff that doesn't belong, the paint won't stick. It might look good temporarily, but after a short time, it will begin flaking and peeling. We must find the areas in our lives needing special protection. Because we can't separate from this sinful world, we tend to compartmentalize our lives. Ironically, many people use almost no protection for the parts of their lives that are out in the world because they want to blend in. Then they come to church with barriers in place, trying to appear holy. Yet the place where we need to be protected, where we need buffers and insulation, is out in the world. Church is where we're supposed to be able to come for help and healing. We need to be able to come and be vulnerable with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We should be transparently honest, requesting prayer and help. Instead, we come into church and put up barriers of protection in order to appear holy and in control. We go back out into the world and get real. This is backwards. When we start rotting, we wonder what's wrong. So we just put up barriers again back in church. Praise God, my family's fine. How about yours? I bet you're fine too, aren't you? We are insulated and protected at church and exposed to the world. I'm not suggesting we should be phony out in the world. I'm suggesting we need to be conscious of the fact that we mustn't let the world squeeze us into its mold. Romans 12 says, don't be conformed to the pattern of this world. What does this mean if we're talking about siding on your house? It means that when it's wet outside, you want the wood to still be dry. You don't let the atmosphere outside penetrate and determine the composition inside. In practical terms, I will continually communicate with my Heavenly Father in prayer, and I will saturate my mind with Scripture. When I'm bombarded with the world's lies, I will refuse to embrace them. I heard a story about two guys out walking their dogs. One had a Doberman and the other had a Chihuahua. They were walking down the sidewalk in the city together, and one said to the other, "I'm hungry." The other said, "Me too." "Sure would be nice if we could stop down here at the restaurant on the corner and get something good to eat." "Oh, they'd never let us in with our pets." "Well, why don't we just tell them that they're seeing eye dogs?" The guy with the Chihuahua said, "I don't think they'd buy that." The guy with the Doberman replied, "With the Americans with Disabilities Act, I think we can intimidate them. Let's give it a try." "You go first." So they put on their sunglasses, and the guy with the Doberman went in and said, "I'd like a table, please." The waiter said, "I'm sorry, sir, I can't let you in with the pet." He responded, "This is a guide dog." The waiter asked incredulously, "A Doberman is a guide dog?" "Yes, they're using Dobermans more and more now as guide dogs. They make great seeing eye dogs." The waiter reluctantly seated him. So the guy with the Chihuahua walked in and said, "Excuse me, I'd like a table, please." The waiter said, "I'm sorry, sir, but I can't allow your pet in here." "This is my seeing eye dog." "Sir, you're trying to tell me a Chihuahua is a seeing eye dog?" The man excitedly exclaimed, "A Chihuahua? They gave me a chihuahua? I told this story to the kids at the ranch, and everybody had a good laugh. And then I asked them, what's wrong with this story? They responded immediately. It makes lying seem like a good thing. We are teaching our students at the ranch to think critically. On the one hand, this is a funny joke, but not because lying is funny. It's funny because of the element of surprise. The irony catches you off guard. While we can tell our students such a joke, we are also teaching them how to think so that they don't just laugh and subliminally accept the idea that if you can trick people, it's cute. It's not cute. It's wrong. Satan is a liar and the father of lies. If we try to deceive other people, we're not doing something funny, cute, or humorous. If we want to keep from being saturated by the world's values, we have to erect barriers by learning how to think biblically as we apply the truths of Scripture to every situation. This is what it means in Romans 12:2 when we're told to continually have our minds renewed. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Notice the pattern that Paul sets forth. First, he says, don't let the world squeeze you into its mold, or don't be conformed to the pattern of this world. He then explains the alternative and the results. Instead, be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you can demonstrate God's will for your life to be that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. As we yield our lives to God in obedience, we resist the pressures of the world. As we have our minds renewed by Scripture, our lives are transformed. This is routine maintenance. This is why the spiritual disciplines of prayer, Bible study, and fellowship become so important. This is how we stay clean. This is how we stay on track. This is why it's important to meet with fellow believers to study and discuss the Bible and important issues of our day. There are all kinds of wrong ideas bombarding our lives continually with messages about what will make us happy and what will make our marriages and family life good. We have to weigh these things in the light of the Bible and see if these messages are consistent with God's truth. My wife and I have had some wonderful, happy vacations. We've gone to some nice resorts and enjoyed great food and fun. I would say, however, that of all the trips we've taken, the one that means the most to us was not a vacation. It was a trip to Ukraine in the former Soviet Union. We lived in the most impoverished and difficult surroundings we've ever been in. Neither of us grew up in affluence, but we've always lived better than the people in the old Soviet bloc. Even highly educated people who have achieved worldly success under the old Soviet system didn't live anywhere near as well as the lower middle class in America. Yet even in these unpleasant surroundings, that trip meant the most to us. The things the world offers don't bring real joy. If we'll seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, everything we need will be given to us. Don't be afraid to put God first and do what He says. He offers a whole different kind of riches, riches that will satisfy for eternity. Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a moment to encourage us. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, to learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we'll remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His Word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We're depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Repairing and replacing. We cannot act as if our home is going to maintain itself. we must be committed to repairing and replacing what breaks. From time to time, things will break. Regardless of the great foundation laid in the competent builder, wear and tear will occur. In our relationships with each other, there will be times when we have to go back and repair a break. There will be times when we have to fix something that's wrong. In the book, When Two Become One, I suggested couples should memorize four key phrases. I'm sorry. That was wrong of me. Please forgive me. I'm glad I'm married to you. All four of these are essential. Use them to help repair your marriage relationship when you've helped precipitate a break. You don't have to be the only one at fault to be the one who initiates the repairs. There will also be times when you have to replace something. I'm not talking about replacing your mate. There may be a tradition, habit, or something else that was once helpful in your marriage, but it's no longer needed. If it's not beneficial, it may be time to get rid of it. Sometimes hanging on to the wrong thing results in disaster. Replacement is a necessary part of life. Be prepared to replace old traditions, restaurants, vacation destinations, or whatever it is. It is important to be willing to invest the time, energy, and cost in repairing and replacing when it becomes necessary. Do it. Don't just sit there and wish things were different. Pay the price and make the change. Pest control is a necessary part of routine maintenance. Remember that pests include things unseen as well as those that are visible. Most of the things that will destroy your home will not be obvious at the time. Sometimes we see indoor pests like mice and roaches. We just got an email from a friend on a short-term missions trip to Costa Rica. As the group was eating around the kitchen table, their host suddenly took a dart and blowgun to shoot and kill rats running across the kitchen shelves. I'm confident my friend lost weight on that trip. I certainly would have. Nobody wants pests running around. But for most of us, it's the unseen pests that are much more likely to do damage. Rats have fleas and can do damage. Roaches carry germs. Years ago, I had a 2-inch roach jump onto my bare chest in the middle of the night in Texas. I wanted to scream as loudly as possible as I fought to knock the roach off my chest, but I didn't want to wake my hosts and the rest of the household. I made no sound except for the sounds of my hands beating on my chest as I batted the roach away. There are times when you see pests, but far more often, the pests that destroy our relationships are unseen. What's the worst thing about a roach? It's the germs on the roach. I'm much bigger than the roach or the germs, but germs can get inside, penetrate, and make a difference in our health. They'll make us sick. When we deal with pest control, we need to remember to watch out for the unseen things. In order for termites to survive, they have to stay hidden. And not just because we would kill them. They can't be out where the air is dry. They've got to have moisture. As long as they have moisture, they can eat sheetrock, wood, phone books, and every kind of cellulose. They have a wonderful time chewing up everything that makes our houses stand. If they are forced out into the air, they will dry out and die. When you see tunnels on the outside of block or stone, termites are inside. It's time to get help or lose the house. Get rid of the pests and put up barriers so they can't get back in. Replace what they have destroyed. You may find where bitterness, greed, selfishness, and thoughtlessness have brought damage into your home and your relationships. Get rid of sin and unforgiveness and repair what's been damaged. Realize it's not just the obvious problems. Sometimes you have to uncover areas to see what's really going on. Let me give you three important principles. First, seek to seal off as many means of entry as possible. Look to see where the things which don't belong in your home or in your life are getting in. We had what sounded like a squirrel in the attic. It turned out to be mice. They just sound very big when they're running around overhead. We couldn't just get rid of those mice. We had to find out where they were getting in and block the way as best we could. They'll still find other ways in, but there won't be as many. Seal off as many ways as possible. Don't ever just leave the doors open in your home. You understand the application? Put screens on the windows if you want to keep the birds and bats out. Gnats may get in through the screens, but it beats chasing a bird around. Please consider the application with television. And I want to warn you that the parental controls on the internet don't work. Teens are being targeted by pornographers. Children cannot surf the internet safely without adult supervision. I'm not saying you have to have no internet connection. I'm warning you that you can't make the internet safe for unsupervised children. And many adults are susceptible to these pests too. Second principle, show zero tolerance for pests that get inside. How many mice are too many to have in your house? Mice multiply exponentially. Start early to eliminate the pests. Don't wait for the infestation. God's standard of holiness is perfection. The agricultural department has a different standard. They actually publish standards outlining the percentage of rat feces, insect parts, and other undesirable items which is considered acceptable in food for consumers. It's such an endemic problem that a standard has been established. We live in a fallen world, and we're going to be ingesting stuff that we don't want to know about. To a certain extent, we live in a symbiotic relationship with pests. But when you have visible evidence of pests, you need to take action immediately. Have a zero-tolerance approach. You don't have to go out and destroy all termites in the world, but show zero tolerance for termites in your house. Show zero tolerance for greed, bitterness, malice, sexual impurity, lying, and all forms of deceit. Among you, Paul writes, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed. You have the authority and responsibility to show zero tolerance for pests in your home. Praise is a remarkable and wonderful barrier of protection around your house. It's amazing how God can use praise to bless and protect your family and to minister to other people as well. Third principle, try to get rid of the places where pests hide and the things they like to eat. If there are things in your life that feed greed, bitterness, or lust, get rid of that stuff. It doesn't belong. It's not just the bad stuff that needs to go, it's the clutter too. Anything that provides a place for Satan to slip in and do his work. Proper maintenance and pest control make for the kind of homes that will stand when storms come. This is what God wants for us. My wife and I have been married 25 years, and I can honestly tell you it's getting better every year. I'm so grateful that God's plan for us is not simply survival. God's plan is that we would be more than conquerors through Him who loved us. God's plan is good, acceptable, and perfect. Don't miss it. Well, folks, again, I hope you've enjoyed this series. It's taken from the book Weathering the Storms, which we published back in 2000. And therefore, when I said that my wife and I have been married 25 years, that was true in 2000. We've now been married over 40 years, and I am very grateful to God. We're still in love, and I am very grateful. I told her just the other day what I've said many times before, and that is, I love you, I'm glad I'm married to you, and I want to spend the rest of my life with you. So, if you want to get this book, go to our website. It might be the perfect gift to give somebody you know. God bless you. Be sure and tune in next time, and tell your friends to listen to Abiding in Christ. You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.